I'd like to welcome you to the service in Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church today. We're glad if you're tuning in. We pray that God will bless his word to our hearts today. Today we have a special preacher. The Reverend Paul Hanna is the preacher for today. And we welcome our brother in our Saviour's precious name. And we trust that God will bless. And our brother will take over the service after the hymn. But the first hymn is the Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength. But the words will be on the screen and they'll just come up just now.
Please to join with us in our opening prayer. I don't know where you are, and I don't know what you're doing, but it's good just to stop, to pause, and to wait upon the Lord. Now, if you're driving, don't want you to close your eyes. You can keep your eyes open if you're driving. But for the rest of us, if we can just shut out all distraction as we come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we do thank thee for this opportunity to be able to preach thy most precious word. We'll thank thee for it, and we'll thank the Lord for the means, these media means, these internet means, that allows us to broadcast even the churches are shut. So do bless, do undertake, do give special help this evening. Do take away every distraction, take away every sideways thought, not only from the preacher, but indeed from every individual who may be watching or listening the broadcast. So help us now. It is for thy glory alone we do pray thee. Amen. If you've got a copy of the scriptures before you, or even anywhere near where you are, if you're going to please ask you to turn with me, I want you to look at the verse as I read it. I'm not going to have a long reading this evening, but I do want you to read with me the last few verses in Matthew chapter 11. Just the last three verses, in fact, of Matthew chapter 11. These words were from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now that doesn't mean that they're any more inspired than the rest of the New Testament, the rest of the Gospels, in fact, the rest of the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But these words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to grasp that fact this evening. I want you to think about these words as coming from him. I trust you find the place by now, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29 and 30. They read simply this, and I want these words to burn upon your heart. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. We do pray the Lord, God himself, might bless us the reading of his own inspired word. At this stage of the meeting, I'm going to ask, or going to hand it back over to the Reverend Dean, please, as he makes a few announcements and brings another piece of praise to you.
Well, we'd like to thank the Reverend Hannah as he has taken part today. And we welcome each one along in our Saviour's precious name. Do remember the meetings in the incoming days. Do remember the evening service when the Reverend Hannah will be back again to proclaim the Word of God. And we ask you to invite others in and come yourself and join in the Word of God as it is proclaimed. Thursday at 8 is our midweek meeting for prayer and Bible study. We encourage God's people to come and join with us at the throne of grace in prayer. The youth fellowship by Zoom is on Friday at 8 o'clock as well. Next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m. is the FBC Kids. 11:30 is our morning service. 7 o'clock evening meeting still. Just for the next little while, continuing on Facebook and sermon audio. But in preparation for getting back into our church building, our committee and session have done a new risk assessment, and we're just re-emphasising some of the social distancing and other measures that we need to put into place. We need to remember that now social distancing is 2 metres. You also need to wear a mask unless you have a good reason for not doing so. And also, can we fill the church from the front and from the wall out as well? We would appreciate if you would cooperate in all of these matters. We have put in extra cleaning as well, and we look forward to seeing people back in under the sound of God's precious word. But we're going to sing another hymn before we turn over the meeting again to the Reverend Hannah. It's the hymn, Praise the Saviour, Ye Who Know Him. The words will be on the screen again, and immediately afterwards, the Reverend Hannah will bring God's word to her hearts. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dean. We appreciate that. I want you to think about those words that we have before us this evening. Our text is, it's not hard to narrow it down, I only read three verses, but it is found there in Matthew chapter 11 and the verse marked 28. We're going to read it again. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. With God's word open before us, with God's word echoing in the air, let us still our hearts please as we come before the Lord and ask for special help just now. Father, we do thank thee for thy word. We do pray that thou would bless it, each and every waiting heart. We thank thee, Lord, for it. And we pray that thou would be pleased to bless in a special way this evening. We pray, Lord, for every category of sinner. For those that have come, and I include myself in that number. I am a sinner. For those that are wandering afar off, surely there's such a one listening to this broadcast. And Lord, for those that have never come to the cross, I pray that thou would speak today. Speak, Lord, with the voice that wakes the dead. Make thy people hear. In thy precious and holy name we do ask. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29 as well, our text for this evening. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Last year, this is according to official figures, by the way, last year, Royal Mail, I'm reliably informed, delivered around 10 billion letters right across the UK. In fact, that is somewhat down significantly from the previous year, but still an awful lot of letters. In fact, it's hard to take these numbers in. I've broken it down a little bit for you. That's an average, just an average, of 833 million letters every single month. Over 192 million letters every single week. In fact, that's over 27 million letters a day. Over a million letters, in fact, 1.1 million letters every single hour. In fact, that's an average of 319 letters delivered by Royal Mail every second, on average, last year across the UK. And I don't know about you. There's a lot of bills coming to my house. I don't know about your house. I don't know about your circumstances. But there's hardly a day goes by whenever we don't get at least something hand-delivered to the door. In fact, today, think about or through this week, we've had days where there's been maybe three or four different things have come. Maybe a couple of different Amazon vans or something else. What do we get in the post? We get bills, we get adverts, we get newsletters. We get some nice stuff that we want to see as well. We get information from missionary societies such as the Christian Institute and others. We get circulars, we get all sorts of things that are posted to us. But there's one thing that thrills almost everybody. Maybe not so much the men. But one thing that thrills people more than anything else, unless you like getting bills in the post, is when someone sends us an invitation. Now, that's something we haven't really had the privilege of over this past 12 months as much as we would like. But we all love to get an invitation. Maybe a wedding invitation from your circle of friends, family. Maybe something like that. Maybe you're waiting for the special garden party that the Queen often holds to come to your house. My husband arrived yet, it must have been lost in the post. Well, let me tell you, folks, we are on the theme this evening, not only of invitations, but on the theme this evening of the greatest invitation of all. Look at our text. Look and consider this evening with me, just for a few minutes, the greatest invitation of all, coming from the greatest one of all, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me, he says to you. Come unto me, he says of me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. Here we have in the living book that is the Word of God. This is a living book. This invitation, this special invitation that we can or at least should not ignore, because this is Christ's invitation to come. Now, the very first thing that we want to mention, and we've mentioned this repeatedly over the introduction and to now already, is the fact that this invitation is from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the source of this invitation. Let me ask you today, let me challenge you today. Would you not come? Would you not obey this invitation? Would you not respond in the affirmative to these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he asks you personally today from his own and living word to come unto him? Would you not do that? There's an onus upon you. There's a responsibility upon you today. Would you not come? Would you not ask him to come into your heart and your life? There's so many of them struggling over the last 12 months, more than ever. In fact, I've heard it so many times. When believers will relate to me and others, they'll say words to this effect. I don't know how anybody could go through the situation that I'm going through if it wasn't for the Lord in your life or in my life. And maybe you're trying to do that. Maybe you're trying to go it alone. Would you not come to the Lord? Would you not come to the Savior? Would you not come to the one who is the source of this invitation this evening? The one who is indeed set before us in this meeting right now, because that's all I seek to do, to set the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work before you now. Do you realize that he is the one who came, and he is the one who willingly gave his life on the center cross of Calvary that we may go free? Go free from what, you might ask? You see, the law merely informs us that we are, as God sees us, sinners and falling, every one of us. We're told this in Scripture in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all of us, every single one of us, falls short of the glory of God. We fall short of his standard. By the law, we are condemned. Yet in Christ, because of his finished work on the cross, we go free. But the onus is upon you, as it was upon me. Whenever I was a boy, yes, a wee lad, a 7-year-old, I went home after a gospel evening service and I knew that I needed to be saved. And I asked my mother to show me and to teach me through the Scriptures of how I could come, how I could obey this command that's given us here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where he says very simply, come unto me. You see, this is Christ's invitation to come. See, everywhere we open the Scriptures, anywhere you open your Bible, whether it be Old Testament or New, he is to be found there, because this is the book that is written of him. It points us to Christ. And the central event in all of time was that cross work where he gave his life willingly. Oh yes, some will try to make it out that there were those who took his life from him, but he willingly, as we read in the Scriptures, gave up the ghost. Why did he do that? Because of his love, as we thought about this morning, because of his care for us. He careth for you. Isn't that what we thought about earlier? You see, that's what we want to do today. We want to bring him front and center. That's why in all of our churches, Reformed churches, the pulpit is in the center of the church. Why is that? To elevate a man? No, far from it. to keep a man central? No, far from it. Rather, it's to elevate him, because it is here from the sacred desk that we preach Christ and him crucified. That is how we can come unto him, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. That is how we can come to him. You just think about this text. You just think about this invitation as it's brought to us today. Come unto me. You think about the simplicity of these words. You can say to a child, maybe hardly even able to walk, just crawling about the floor, a mother can say to its child, come unto me. That child will understand. That child will be able to respond. You have an opportunity today. Yes, the Lord is saying here through his living word to come unto him. Would you not do that this very minute? You don't even have to wait to the end of the meeting. You don't even have to wait to speak to or contact Mr. D, and he would love to hear from you. I know he would. Or some of the office bearers, or another Christian friend in the church, or myself. We would love to hear from you. But you don't need us to point you to the Lord. To save you, we can't save you. No church, this church cannot save you. Would you not come unto him, the one who extends this invitation, this simple invitation, this invitation that's in the plainest of simple language that even a child would be capable to understand? Four simple letters, C-O-M-E, come unto me. I fear today that organized religion, a man said to me one day, you know, and he was trying to put me off, he was saying this is a negative against me, for I was trying to testify and try to witness of the Lord Jesus Christ to this individual. And he said to me one day, just looked at me square, and he pointed at me and he said, there's one thing I cannot stand, and it's organized religion. He thought he was putting me down with that, and I just nodded. I said, you know, I can agree with you in that. Because I told him what I'm about to tell you right now, that over the years, organized religion has the tendency to complicate the simple message of come unto me, all ye that labor. Oh yes, churches do what's called apostatize. They go down wrong paths, wrong tracks, and they add onto it. I'm bringing you right back to Reformation principles, where I would say, Christ alone. I'm saved through faith alone, and Christ alone, by grace alone, as revealed in the Word of God, alone, for his glory, alone. See, organized religion can complicate the message. It can add this onto it, and it can add that onto it. It's said, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ can save, but we must do penance. We must do this, do that. We must attend, we must give, we must be in membership. But let me tell you, folks, today, and this is the message of this church. This church, our denomination, is almost born here in Crossgar, almost 70 years old. And the message of this church has not changed, and it is simply this, that you're to come unto Christ. Would you not do that this very hour? See, he is the one who is already at the central event in all time, the cross work, already defeated sin and death, defeated Satan. But let me tell you this, Christ is no bully. He is no bully. I want to turn you through to the book of the Revelation, the last book in your Bible. If you've got a Bible on your knee now, turn to it, please. Because this is important. This is a verse that's often used and wheeled out so it can be applied to the unsaved. This is, of course, a gospel message this evening. But these words were not written to the unsaved. These words, and I'm using this to illustrate the fact that the Lord will not force his way into anyone's life. Yes, he did it all. He went all the way to the cross where he defeated sin and death. But the offer, the gift of God, his salvation is offered to you freely now. But you can accept it or you can refuse it. I assume you've got the place, you found the place in Revelation 3 verse 20. Remember, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his own church. where he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." He is nobly. Christ is nobly. He has never nor will ever force his way, but he will gently knock and ask admission. Would you not let him in? Would you not say, as so many have said before you, "Come into my life, Lord Jesus"? It matters not about the words or the order of words. Come in today, come in to stay. Would you not obey this command where he speaks to us today from his living word? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Let me ask you today, are you saved? Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? And if you have to say to me, even from the silence of your own heart, if you have to admit to yourself, "No, I'm not saved," let me ask you this question: why not? Is there something that's holding you back? Is there some secret sin? Is there something that you're afraid that your work colleagues or someone else will keep you going about it? And let me ask you another question. 100 years from now, when your body lies in Mother Earth and your soul is in one of two places, will those reasons have mattered? Why will you not come? Whatever it is with you, whatever your past, whatever your... Now, there's one thing I've discovered ministering in Belfast for over 4 years, is that for every single individual we come across, yes, we're all needy, we're all individual, but for everyone in this country at least, it's complicated. But let me tell you again, something of the simplicity of this of the most beautiful invitation that we have in Scripture. Come unto me. Let me tell you, as the Lord Jesus Christ puts it in another place, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, to press a or to paraphrase that verse, that passage is found in Matthew as well, earlier in the book. All those other things will fall into place, but simply come as the Lord has commanded you. You see, he is the only way. It doesn't say merely come unto whatever way you find appropriate, or come unto whatever one or whatever method or whatever individual or whatever church that you feel that is best for you or that you've been brought up unto. I want you to notice the third word, a very, very simple word, a very easily understood word, and that is the singularity of this word: come unto me. See, again, the Lord Jesus Christ is central here. Come unto me, not to the church, not to the sacraments, not to a list of rules of do's and don'ts, but rather boils it right down into the most simple of terminology: come unto me. Was the Lord Jesus Christ telling us here, or telling you here in this verse, as many preach today from pulpits like this, that it doesn't really matter how you come, or it doesn't really matter who you come to, or it doesn't even matter what you believe, as long as you do it with all sincerity, because there are many roads to heaven? Let me tell you this, on the authority of Scripture itself, there is but one way to heaven. The opposite of what so many are peddling today as a false gospel. The opposite, because Jesus says in our text, come unto me. We're in Matthew chapter 11 here, but in John chapter 10. We're in the first of the four Gospels, the last of the four Gospels. Chapter 10, do we not read these words? Verse 7, 8, and 9. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." He was countering that same problem way back then, with those who said there were different ways to come. He nailed it. He nailed it right down to one way. I am the door, one way. There is but one way into heaven. Oh yes, there are many ways into hell, but one way into heaven. In fact, he goes on to, and he says in verse 8 and 9, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them, and they went on to nail it, to reinforce it. I am the door, singular. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Does that not reinforce what it says here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28? Come unto me. Remember, the speaker is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying come to this church. I'm not saying come to Paul Hannah. Yes, we will gladly. I'd love to take time with you to point you to the one who can save. Because I can't. Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labour under heavy laden. In Acts chapter 4, don't we read there the early church going out and countering false doctrine every step, every place they went, they countered problems and issues. And the apostles stood up and they said this, listen to these words, in fact you can turn to them if you wish. From Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 it says, neither is there salvation, think of the plainness of this language, in any other. Think of those words again. Neither is there salvation in any other. In fact, the verse goes on to reinforce it further. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ again. Scripture again. Backing scripture up every time. That message of the Lord Jesus Christ being the only way of salvation. Think of our text again. Think of the challenge to you yet again. Come unto me. Oh, you that labor. You see, the devil's liar, one of them at least, he is a liar, and he has been from the beginning. One of his lies is that there are many ways into heaven, and that is a lie from the pit of hell itself. Let me tell you, folks, there's a million ways into hell, but there's only one way into heaven. And the road that we walk, the way that we walk, is the straight and the narrow way. The way into hell, on the other hand, in direct contrast to that, that so many are trampling down tonight, is known as the broad road. And the thing that I like about the broad road, and perhaps you're in the broad road this evening, there's room to turn. Would you not turn? That's what the word repent means. It means to stop all and just to turn around and do a total U-turn, 180 degree U-turn, and come back. You get off the broad road today. You get onto that narrow road that leads you to heaven and to home. How do you do that? You simply obey the words, the command that the Savior gives us here in our text. Come unto me. Would you not do that this very evening when you have time? When you have opportunity, you can never be sure tomorrow. Events over this past week has taught us one thing, and that is this. That you know not, none of us know, what a day will bring forth. You have an opportunity right now to come. Will you not do that very thing? I want us to move on down through our text. We've really been focusing on the first three words here. Come unto me. The heart of this text really is that thought. But I want us to think as well, not as simply about the source and the simplicity and the singularity of this invitation, but look at the scope. As well. Who does this apply to? Well, look at the next word. The word after me, the word before ye, the word all. Is that not a simple word that every one of us can understand? All ye that labour and are heavy laden. You know, I've yet to meet someone without a burden. That was the theme of our message this morning. There's no one in this world that does not have a burden. And there's no one in this world or no one that's watching this broadcast right now that this does not apply to. Come on to me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden. Have you not got a care? Have you not got a woe? Have you not got something that you're struggling with? What does the Savior say? Because he knows all about your cares, all about your woes. He sees past the outward exterior and he sees right into the heart. And he addresses you from this text this evening. I remember as a child, and I know with maybe children watching on today, and maybe you're fed up as I was as a child. I never tell children this. Because I remember as a child, adults telling us that the school days are the best days of our lives. How many school children and many young adults today are self-harming, planning, in fact, to take their own lives and do so. In fact, I remember hearing about a pastor. This broke my heart when I heard this. Hearing of a pastor who conducted the funeral service of a suicide victim in the morning. And then that very evening he went out and he took his own life. Think of these words again. All ye that labour and are heavy laden. Do these words not apply to you? They apply to me. They apply to every individual that I've met. And I'm sure they apply to you today. Before you deny it, let me assure you that this most certainly includes you. You see, God's word tells me. God's word makes it clear to every one of us, in fact. It uses the word all. In fact, the word all here reminds me about the other usages of this word. Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden. Because Paul the Apostle writes again under inspiration in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and he uses the same word. What does he say there using that same word? Perhaps you know the verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Missed God's standard. But what does God say? Come on to me. Come on to me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In fact, look at those words. I will. You see, there's people today, they'll tell us a lie, they'll hang a goat. Isn't that right? There's people today that know what's a lie. They just tell you what they think you want to hear in order to get you off their back. One of the most common lies that's told, whenever you ring a business or ring somebody and they say these words, oh, I hate these words, I'll call you back. They never do. Very rarely do. Most people, whenever they tell you something, you can take it with a pinch of salt. Not so, my Savior. Because we have the surety of this invitation here. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and says God the Son himself, I will give you rest. You see, when God says something, it's very different. God's word tells us, even speaking of this in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen. This is a promise that we can depend upon. I will give you rest. Would you not come today? You have opportunity to come. No matter what excuse you have, they pale into insignificance in the light of eternity, surely. Would you not come? Oh, you're maybe saying, but preacher, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I fall short of God's standard in my own strength. I know that I must simply but trust in Christ. I know that. In fact, I would love to be saved, but I do not think that I could keep it. Well, let me tell you this. You're 100% right. You couldn't keep it. I couldn't keep it either. But the difference is we are kept by the power of God. In fact, if we read those words in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, I will give unto them eternal life, that is to those who come unto him. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, he goes on to say, which give them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. Would you not come today? Come unto me, the Saviour's command. Come unto me, all ye that labour under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We'll just say one word about the last word in our text there in verse 28, the word rest. Because surely there's the satisfaction for those of us that have put our trust in him. This rest that only comes from the Lord. If we can be of any help to you, if the Kirk Session of Crossgar, Christian friend, the minister of the church, Mr. D, and if any one of us can be of any help whatsoever, maybe you think of a silly question. Maybe you're embarrassed to come. Just make simple contact through Facebook or whatever other means that you can. would gladly take time to open this book and to sit with you. Only come. Obey this command of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We'll read the verse again and then we'll have our closing prayer. But you think about the words that have been said tonight. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank thee tonight for thy most precious word. We pray that thou would bless it to every waiting heart, that thou would take thy word from these poor, stammering lips, and Lord, let it loose. Bless it. Drive it deep within the hearts of every individual that would hear. And Lord, I pray that there might be signs following the preaching of thy word. For thy glory alone we do pray. Help us now. In thy precious and in thy holy name we do ask. Amen.